guys, we wanted to tell you about something fun we have coming up that we're pretty excited about. We are doing a live recording of our show at UCB Sunset in Los Angeles. It's on Tuesday, January 31st at 8:30 p.m. And tickets are just $7. You can get them at the UCB Sunset website. And we'll also throw up links on our Twitter and Instagram.
And don't think if you don't live in the Los Angeles area that you'll be out of the loop, because we're going to release this live podcast to our fans on the iTunes site starting, I believe, on February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. And for that very reason, we decided to launch a little Valentine's Day theme for the show. And so it's called Definitely Dying Presents Love and Death. And we will explore love, sex, and all things in between, and in particular, all the ways in which those things can kill you, because that's what we talk about here.
Get your tickets, UCB Sunset, January 31st at 8:30 p.m. We hope to see you there.
See you then.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
But and I had Asian food, and that makes me
What's
feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Smell like?
I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello, and welcome back to Definitely Dying. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here in the studio once again on a Tuesday. Nope, Thursday. It's Thursday. We release on a Tuesday. We record on a Thursday. We're just telling you so much about how we do things.
I know. Slowly we're going to make it so all of our listeners can find us exactly where we are one day and ambush us with praise.
Yeah. Also, if we figure if we give you enough information about when and where the show records, then if we ever need someone to fill in for us, you guys will be ready and available. So, Madeline, I saw you a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
To let you guys in, and even more, we took a little tour of Jash.
Oh yeah,
we played with a virtual reality stuff. We're gonna hopefully have a virtual reality type episode for you guys some point in the future. That's what VR stands for, right? Virtual reality.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And you told me you had a bad back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
How's your back? How's your back doing?
It's you know what? It's better. It's completely better, but it's a little bit better. So like, which is a relief because after. So after we went to Jash, mm-hmm. I had dinner with my friend Marcy, who mm-hmm. has been a guest on this podcast, mm-hmm. And she told me about a friend of hers who – so I got my bad back because I slept on the couch because because I'm in the doghouse. I stayed out too late drinking beers with my buds at the bowling alley. And Ben – I was on the couch because Ben has strep throat, mm-hmm. which, not to get too sidetracked, but anybody who is an avid listener heard the episode with Ben. Mm-hmm. We recorded, and he was sick on the event of recording that episode, mm-hmm. and he remained sick, and he's gotten a new wave of sickness.
Oh, no.
So send some good vibes out to Ben Green, because he's a sick man, which is why I slept on the couch and woke up with just the ouchiest, tweakiest lower back. And it was like that for a couple days. And I was like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's just like, you know, I just slept on it funny. But Marcy told me one of her friends slept funny on a couch and slipped a disc.
Oh, yikes.
And then she had to have two back surgeries.
Ooh.
So post Tuesday night, I was like not only in a lot of pain, but very fearful that this was like not a small problem, but a big problem. And I would have to get back surgery. And then I'll be like unhappy for the rest of my life because I'll finally like know what like I feel like anytime a tiny thing like this happens to me, I realize what a wuss I am all of the time. Because like there are people whose backs hurt every day. That's like so many people deal with like truly chronic pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a horrible life. How lucky are we that we're, or I mean, how lucky am I that I'm most of the time my body doesn't really hurt?
Yeah. No, definitely. It does seem like you're in the busto back camp or you're not.
Yeah.
And I remember, we may have talked about it at some point on this podcast, but I remember, you know, it always stuck with me, this episode of Louis's show, Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Louis goes to see this doctor because he has a bad back, and the doctor basically tells him that all those times that your back isn't hurting, that's the anomaly. Because we're not supposed to yet. We haven't evolved to the point where we should be walking upright. And I think that in the case, in this case, and I've got some back problems too that stem from the desk chair that I use, because so frequently our back problems are the result of having to sit upright for 8 hours a day. So that's my opinion. In your case, we get to a certain age and you can't sleep on a couch.
I can't sleep on a couch.
I wouldn't do it. Like, I would rather, I would either pay to sleep in a hotel or not visit somebody if those were my like options, like sleep on the couch.
Usually I'm good on it. Like, I slept on the couch, like when I was back at home at my parents' house, like we had like, you know, enough additional people in the house that like Ben and I slept on the couch and that was fine. But my parents had like a nice couch. Yeah. Like, we also have like a shitty couch. And I've slept on it before, you know, like when we've had like company or when Ben's been sick before. And it's never fucked me up so badly, but it really hurt.
Yeah.
I was hobbling around. I felt like crying. I'm such a baby. I was just like, it just is terrible. But then I've slept in our bed for two nights and now it feels like, not completely better, but almost better.
Yeah, yeah.
I also kept like continuing to like exercise. Like, the day it happened, I was like, well, I'll just do yoga, but I'll take it easy. And then it was like, I just won't do like the back bends. And then I just did it all because if I have a fear that's greater than being in physical pain, it's the fear of falling short of my expectations of myself.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yoga can't be good. Well, you asked me a couple of days ago if I thought it was a good idea, and I didn't have an idea. And now I think it can't have been a good idea to do. But I mean, and one of the things that I remember from, I don't know why I said remember. It was from the physical therapy I went through mere weeks ago. But I remember so clearly my physical therapy of earlier in December. They wouldn't let me do anything incline related. Like, I couldn't, the only exercise that I could do was walk on a treadmill, and it had to be flat surfaces. So anything
that was for your shoulder though, right?
It was for my back, my neck, my shoulder, and my elbow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically anything.
Basically everything above
alignment,
my waist.
Yeah. It's hard.
Life is hard. Life starts out, it's pretty easy, but you think it's hard because you have no perspective on life. And then eventually it truly gets hard. And then you realize how foolish you were as
for
a child.
Thinking it was, I feel like any 22-year-old, it's like somebody once said, like, it's like, the age of 22 is like the smartest you'll ever be, like, or it's because it's the smartest you'll ever feel, because like when you think you really know everything and you haven't gotten to the age to realize that like you'll never really know anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's also probably the hardest your life will ever feel, and it's the easiest it will ever be.
You're in peak physical condition.
Yeah. But also that's why I'm a little bit like cherish these small moments of like a fucked up back because like this will, knock on wood, go away. I mean, I think it's on the outs right now.
Yeah.
And so it's just a little taste of how hard life will be in a decade or two. Now I can just really live it up these next couple decades when I have a normal back I can just walk around and be happy.
Man, as somebody a few years older than you, you were in for a much shorter window than you believe.
No,
it's not necessarily true. I've let myself suffer, and it's entirely my fault.
What a deep, cutting truth. I mean, the same could be said for all of us.
Yeah,
we let ourselves suffer, and it is entirely our fault.
Yeah. I would say, I would say I'm like maybe 1% more responsible for my own lack of well-being than the average person. I mean, then there's certain people who just like, this ain't your fault, you know, some drunk driver came around the corner or whatever. Yeah. But in my case, I am my own drunk driver. Should we start the podcast?
Let's start it.
Nice. Guys, we have a great guest for you today. We're so excited to have him here. He's one of my oldest friends in all of Los Angeles. He's a member of the Birthday Boys. You've seen him and heard his words on Comedy Bang Bang. He's got a great podcast on the Howl FM network called Questions for Lennon, which I just got an email just the other day. It was telling me it was one of the most popular, one of the most downloaded of all of 2016. So that's a cool thing, right? Our guest is Mike Hanford.
Hi. Oh, I was so waiting to be introduced.
I made sure to get your name.
Madeline was restraining me back.
Yeah.
I know.
Hold me back.
He's got to let me get on there.
The first guest who ever wanted to fight me while I was giving his introduction.
And I forwarded you that email, by the way.
You did.
Yeah. I'm sending it out to everyone.
Well, no, thank you, Howell, for letting me know when my friends do good things.
So I'll tell them you said thank you.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to listen to other podcasts.
Right, yeah.
No.
It has to be in the Howell universe. Is that loud? Am I close enough?
You are.
Yeah.
You're too close.
No, you're right.
I'm
you're
past
right.
the microphone.
Yeah, you know. Mike has chosen to forego the microphone.
Yeah.
Speak to you individually.
This is a funny setup because I'm sitting, I don't know if the listener at home can see, but I'm...
You don't know if they can see or you're sure they can't see?
I'm not exactly sure if they can see through the airwaves, but I'm sitting between you two at the end of a table, so I'm doing a lot of swiveling.
Yeah,
that's why neither of us takes that seat, because it's not a fun seat.
A lot of work to be done in this
seat. Yeah,
reminds me too much of my relationship with my divorced parents.
Oh!
No!
They worked in an office?
They did.
Yeah, they recorded a podcast together?
Yeah, they hosted a podcast together about failing marriages.
What an informative podcast that would be.
No, as I was saying it, I was like, I'd listen to that.
I would really,
I would really listen to that.
Just if only to catch up with your parents.
Yeah right? I thought they liked each other. Good thing I tuned in. I missed a couple of weeks. Shit goes to shit. Should we kick it off with the hat of hypochondria?
Yeah.
We took a break from the hat of hypochondria last week because our guest, Deanna Riesenover, was so excited to answer our old question about how much she fears death. But knowing that Mike Hanford is a zero on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of fears of death, we thought we'd
rip out
the hat.
He laughs at it.
He laughs in the face of death.
I'm going into the purple hat.
The purple hat.
And pulling out.
Mm-hmm. The first question.
If there's a hell... What gets you in?
Ooh, we like that question.
Yeah.
We were just talking recently about it. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a heavy one.
Yeah. Genuine. Yeah. Do you think there is a heaven?
I go back
hell?
And forth. I think I go back and forth on stuff like death and being a hypochondriac and questions like this where it's like, there could be a day where I didn't sleep much and I haven't eaten anything yet and I'm fearful of everything.
Yes. That is so true.
There could be a day where I'm feeling great, like, anything is possible.
Yeah.
There's no death.
You really go way too far with that.
Yeah, you'll see me jogging down the middle of the street on that.
It really is funny how not getting enough sleep can really make
it can
you feel
spin a day.
Not
existentially
eating
wrong.
Yeah.
Those two things, not enough sleep, not enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or eating the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And this is not a thing either of you will relate to, but the also having it be the week before your period. It's it's like a full week of how you feel when you haven't slept enough where you're like, what's wrong with me?
With everyone.
Yeah. Little known fact about Mike and I, always on our period.
Yeah.
There is no week before.
There is no week
No week after either.
Hey.
I would say, obviously can't speak to the period thing. But, so what is it about that? Is there some sort of anticipation that goes with it, or is
just
it just
like hormonal,
that it feels horrible?
Yeah, it's just like everything that like creates your menstrual cycle is just depends on the level of hormones in your body. So it's just like, I don't know which ones are like, you know, kicking up that make you feel like that, but it's the simple answer is hormones.
What's the male equivalent to that? Day before the big game?
Before the big game, I lose it.
You do. You're a wreck.
But the big game could be a bowling game that I'm going to be a part of.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl, which I'm not a part of.
It could be an animal you're hunting.
I haven't been a part of the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah. No.
And I know you haven't.
No.
No? Madeline, no?
No.
It's true. No, none of us have partaken in a Super Bowl.
You got to put in the work to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm not prepared to do.
No. we've all had products from companies that we own have commercials during the Super Bowl.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Because we're big wigs.
Yes, we are. We're just three big wigs.
You know, I was watching football last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forget who I was even watching. But every time I watch football, I'll watch a play happen and just, like, marvel at the guy catches the ball. He's standing there. He's looking at two guys, and he's like, I'm going to just rush into these two people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get tackled. But I see you. You're going to come at me, and I'm going right into
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm going right in.
Every play is a potential
death. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to, like, see a huddle where they're like, guys, now, who here likes getting hurt?
Don't do this.
Yeah. Come on. No, we don't. Nobody really likes this.
I know this is not a popular play. Yeah. Can we take a knee?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we still want to win.
We still, but just can we figure out a way to not get hurt?
Yeah,
every play.
How much would they have to pay you to be that guy that catches the ball and runs
right into
the people
big
that are going to crush you?
A lot, many millions. I think that's
millions,
why people get paid many millions.
That's true.
Because it's a bad job. Yeah.
So you think none of them want to do it?
It's the worst job.
I don't think
they
that's
be
why
in there.
I don't think that's
You have got to be out of your goddamn mind. I am not going into that game.
It's like the same logic about how, like, garbage men and plumbers are, like, very well paid. Like, the NFL is just a real, like, it's even worse than being a garbage man.
It's a bad job. We'll pay you a ton. But please, we need players on the team.
Everybody else said no.
You're not our first choice.
So, without those guys hitting you, would you do it at all?
If it was just
someone wanted to throw you a game a ball professionally.
I'd love to catch a game ball.
Just play catch professionally, you do it?
I'd love to. I'd love to get in the stadium, see all the fans, wave to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to wave to a crowd?
That's true. And if they pay you enough money, you'll let people hit you.
Sure.
So on a day when you do believe in hell,
mm-hmm.
What would get you?
Oh,
there?
That's those are the big ones. Like murder is the
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's taking life away is the
that was a big one. What about just we've had this conversation a couple times. What about, like, just being, like, a selfish person? Like, if you're just, like, not a good guy,
yeah.
are you going to hell?
I hope not.
Do you, because of me, right?
Yeah.
You don't think I'm very nice. And you want to hang out with me after we die.
I don't know. I guess that's something you can try to fix.
Right, right.
And maybe even a murder you could fix.
Like, bring him back to life.
That's what Weekend at Bernie's is about,
yeah,
right?
I guess so.
That's true, yeah.
That's how you fix a murder.
That's avoiding hell.
Yeah, the original title was How to Fix a Murder.
Yeah, yeah.
It was originally written by Shonda Rhimes. And,
So something that, like, feels very, like, to you, is it murder because it just feels fair that if you take a life, you should go to hell? Yeah.
I think so.
What
I don't
about
know.
A soldier, though?
I know. Is that... That's where it gets sticky.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a bad question for me. I'm having a bad day.
I don't know what, do you have a clear sense of how you'd answer that question, Ben?
I mean, I think that I think we hit the nail on the head that it sort of depends on your mood. Like, there are going to be. I would say that murder one is nice because it feels like we can just say that across the board, if you, like, plan to kill somebody and then kill them, provided that, because I don't consider it the same if you're, like, doing this. I don't consider it a murder if you're doing the service of ending someone's life for, like, some. In your head, like, something good is happening, you know? Like, you're doing,
right.
Like, somebody's hurting Madeline, and so I kill them or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? That doesn't feel like murder. Like, I wouldn't call that murder, even though I planned to do it, and then I exacted it.
How many people – but don't you think a lot of people who commit murder think they're doing it for a good reason?
Yeah, so I'm sure. So that's why I'm saying, like, there has to be, like – yeah, there has to be some set of circumstances that make it so that, like, this is malicious intent without any sort of – it's just like you're killing because you don't think that it matters to be good or bad. You
think nihilism sends you to hell?
Well, no, because, I mean, nihilism is primarily not going to apply to, like, taking human lives. Yeah. It's going to, like, apply to, like, taking down the system or whatever, you know? I don't know. This is, it feels like it's getting it. This
it's
is
a hard question.
This is a hard question. Do you have an answer? Like an absolute, this person's
I think nothing.
Nothing makes you deserving
of
hell?
But it's kind of skirting the, I don't know if that's a non-answer.
No, I know what
it's
you
like,
mean.
Well, because it's the reason that I, or I guess it's like one of the reasons I don't think there is a hell. Because I just think it's insane to think that there's like enough of like, basically it's like, I just think. There's no black and white way to gauge if a person is good or bad. Like,
I think that's true.
I think that's and the fact and thinking that we could do that, like, is feels also crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you in in the sense of like that to me, when I say there's no black and white way, what I'm saying is that if I had to rationalize this to another person, there's no like 100% across the board that's going to influence everybody, but. I've got like a couple of examples actually that came up fairly recently of just having that feeling that I'm in the presence of evil.
Ooh.
And that if there was then facts that backed up that feeling, like I've been having that feeling a lot lately with Postmates drivers, like someone will drop off food with me and I'll look them in the eyes and be like, you just did something or whatever.
Oh,
like, this is your job because.
Really?
Yeah. And so like, and I've always been very afraid of not giving. 5 stars to anyone who knows where I live, you know, I think I tweeted it at one point. It was just like 5 stars because you're great or 5 stars because you look like a murderer. It all spends the same, baby.
I'll do that kind of thing.
You know? Like,
I'll do 5 stars with just about every Uber driver.
Yeah, you got to.
Me
because
too.
Just in like, you did what I requested you to do. I got there safe. I don't have to drive, which is all I didn't want to do anyway.
Yeah.
You get 5 stars. It's either a yes or no, I think. The 5 stars.
But with me, I'll have that thing where sometimes they're too chatty with me, and I want them to not have been that chatty. And so in my head, I'm like, I'll punish this chattiness by going down a notch. But then I'm like, chatty people are often crazy, and I can't give 5 stars, anything less than 5 stars to a potentially crazy person.
That's the reason you decide to give them 5 stars instead of thinking like, well, they're probably just a lonely person who's trying to pass the time a little more. I'll ease that for them and give them 5 stars.
That for them by not telling them to shut up.
The chattiness could help the next person though, that they pick up.
Oh, that's true.
They might need to chat more.
They might want to chat.
Yeah. So we're in agreement. That guy's going to hell. Right? I'm going to heaven and that person goes to hell.
That shouldn't be part of it.
Then why is it on the Uber app? Good 5 stars, heaven or hell?
Yeah,
it does have
that.
Yeah, would you send this person to hell?
I always click yes. If you know where I live, I send you to hell. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we've decided that this is a tough question.
Yeah, well, it's the heart of the question is like, I guess like. Is anybody truly bad?
Right. Like, so who would you send to hell? If you can choose one person to send to hell, it's probably somebody who's not going to hear this podcast. I mean, nobody. Well, yeah.
I wouldn't send anybody.
I wouldn't either.
What if it's them or you?
I would go in a second.
You would go to hell. We're not talking about like Ben Green. We're talking about it's like you were like
I know
Vladimir Putin.
I know
you're going to hell over Vladimir Putin.
Definitively.
Then go now. I don't need this.
I just think like you don't know what horrible things that like I'm nice, but it's because only nice things have ever happened to me.
I guess
like I'm
still.
Only nice because. And nothing bad's really ever happened.
I get that, but still.
I didn't grow up in
Putin?
Russia.
So you're saying that Putin's problem is he grew up in Russia? It's just too cold.
I've been
too
watching
cold.
The Americans. Everybody's mean because it was hard.
All right, fair enough. So Madeline is saying is if to get into hell, you got to be Madeline.
Yeah, I guess I would send myself to hell because I feel too guilty doing it to anybody else. And that's the true answer to the question.
I'd send myself to hell just to get some peace and quiet. Anyway.
Classic Ben. He's always just trying to get some peace and quiet.
All this heavenly yapping. Anyway. That was fun.
So are you a hypochondriac?
No, I don't think so. What defines hypochondriac? Someone who like can't move without
No. Do you think you're sick a lot?
Yeah.
I think I'm getting sick a lot. I think I'll feel like cold or my nose is itchy and I'm like, oh boy, I'm eating, you know, B12s or something.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like being sick.
Yes.
I think I get that from my dad. Anytime like there's a cough in the room, it's like, okay, give me those B12s. I haven't had enough water. I need water.
I'm that way with echinacea. Like as soon as I get like a little tickle in the throat, oh yeah. The next day is all echinacea.
But being sick is the worst.
It's the worst.
I also feel like I'm the type of person when I'm sick, if I'm sick and go to the store or have to go to work because I'm not really that sick, it's the type of thing where it's like, how can anyone expect anything of me on this day?
Yeah.
My ears feel swollen today. I can't go anywhere.
Yeah. What's the sickest you've ever actually been? Have you ever been like wildly sick?
I think food poisoning has probably been my sickest. I can't, and it was in like junior year of college. I got food poisoning after a. Some friends of mine will make fun. Tim Kalpakis will make fun of me for this.
Is this a chicken story?
This is not a chicken story. Although you know, I don't prepare chicken to its fullest at times.
And by fullest, like the temperature that it's allowed to get.
Oh, you always cook raw chicken.
I'll cook chicken and then like cut it open. And it's like still pink. I'm like, oh, I messed it up.
But this was
back in college. We went to the grocery store. I bought some discount meat.
No.
Discount steak. It was a low price.
And what kind of meat?
Gray meat.
No.
You got a gray steak?
I got gray steak, fried it up and ate it, and then wondered why I had food poisoning. But I do remember we were watching a Chris Rock special, and I was just like, oh, boy. I was lying on the ground in front of the couch, like, watching. And I was just like, ooh, my stomach doesn't feel good. I'm going to go to the bathroom and then shit and puke for the rest of the night.
Did it last? Was it like a
24-hour.
Oh,
yeah. That's it was because the food poisoning is such a bummer because the initial excavation.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, that works. Definitely.
I didn't want to get gross.
Yeah.
That takes, you know, however long that takes. And then you have like that time again, just like being sore and sick.
Yeah.
The stomach cramps are just miserable.
Oof.
Have you had a camera?
I've never had food poisoning.
Oh man, the cramping! I got it one time a while back. I did a chocolate chug of milk challenge where you have to drink like an entire gallon of chocolate milk. Yeah, you have to, or you go to hell. It's basically just inducing food poisoning. Like you just barf for like 24 hours.
Because your body can't do it, right?
It can't do that much. Yeah, not that much dairy. And then I drank a gallon of cheese and the same thing happened. That's not true. I didn't.
Cheese cubes.
Am I that disgusting of a human being that you guys believed I drank a gallon of cheese?
No.
I still don't believe you drank a gallon of chocolate milk.
I drank a gallon of chocolate milk and then I didn't feel like I had puked enough, so I drank another half gallon of white milk because I felt like I just needed more. Yeah. It wasn't good thinking, but I'm not famous for good thinking.
How about the gallon of water? Like, if you drink too much water, you'll die.
Oh, yeah, that's so sad. I feel like always like
you'll
fraternity
drown.
Rush
right.
people.
It's like, we didn't know. We were
just
doing,
water.
Right, we weren't doing liquor.
You drown. That's what happens, right? Like, you drown.
Your brain swells up. Is that what
is
it is?
Let's look it up. I want to know.
Look it up.
Oh, yeah, water intoxication. Also known as water poisoning or hyperhydration, is a potentially fatal disturbance in brain functions that results when the normal balance of electrolytes in the body is pushed outside safe limits by overhydration.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's a real – because I drink way too much coconut water, so I could die.
No. How much coconut water
– like.
But how much?
A drop.
A drop on my tongue, but every day.
You be careful.
I don't know. Like, if I let myself, maybe like, I've definitely drank like three of those.
Three of the
liters.
Tall boys?
Yeah, like three of those liters in a day.
At once?
Yeah.
I don't think you'll make yourself die, but I do think that's too much coconut water.
Yeah, it's too much coconut water.
That's too much. Wait,
but
let
people,
me.
People, I mean, people drink. Three tall boys of beer in one sitting.
Yeah.
But it's the electrolytes. That was my fear. Yeah. Because you're overhydrated.
Oh, coconut water is electrolytes.
Coconut water overdose. I'm in a. Drinking coconut water in moderation is the key. When you drink too much, potassium levels can reach toxic and dangerous. Over time, too much potassium
banana
in the
sickness.
Body.
That's yeah, banana sickness.
Is that, oh, that's real?
I don't know. But I mean, that's that yeah. is like that. And I'm often eating bananas while I'm drinking coconut water.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Drinking too much coconut water can be dangerous.
Oh, my God.
Wait, this, I thought that was ridiculous when you said it.
Yeah, I know you did.
Could go on the internet, though, and be like.
You think, yeah, anyway.
You could type in apple overdose.
Right.
In your computer and be like, yeah, well, eating too many apples is potentially deadly.
Try it.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Where's my phone?
No, wait, I found a very funny article, though, on sfgate.com called The Disadvantages of Coconut Water. And it's just a list of what's bad about coconut water. And the number one is price. Drinking coconut water isn't cheap.
It's not cheap.
You know what I say the worst part of coconut water is?
What?
The taste.
It's great. No,
I do not enjoy it.
You just haven't come around to it yet. I insist.
You're right.
That it'll grow on you.
I enjoy LaCroix.
Yeah.
Same thing. I had my first one. I was like, ooh, this is, I don't know if I like this. But it has something that kind of gets you.
That's good to know because I don't like LaCroix. But no. Maybe it's just a matter of time.
I took a big break from it for a while and then. I just wasn't interested. And then,
maybe I'll take a break from coconut water and get into LaCroix. I don't know if that's a thing people do.
It's a thing you can do.
Yeah, I think I do.
How much coconut water is too much? I would think three of those tall boys is just too much sugar because coconut water is pretty sweet, isn't it?
The reason when I don't do it anymore because I looked at it because I was unaware of just how many carbohydrates were in it.
Oh.
But, you know, that was part of the thing was that. Much like last week we did a peanut butter taste test and what we determined was that the best peanut butter for you is the peanut butter that's basically just like peanuts.
Yeah.
And so same with coconut water. The best coconut water for you is just liquid from inside of a coconut. What I learned is that, and we talked about this last week, was that it's so expensive because each of those liter containers is like 50 coconuts.
Oh, God.
It's like so many coconuts. Like, if you opened one of those things up and there's like a couple of sips inside, like just white people have made a business out of like taking everything that there's only a tiny little bit of and selling it in Whole Foods.
Okay, wait. There is an old man. Oh, he's not old. He's 42 years old man. There's a man. I thought
it was 440.
Literally like 2 years older than me.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why I imagine this person as an old man?
Yeah.
Because the story was about how he was in Queens and this happened, and for some reason my grandpa was from Queens and like a man who like drank too much coconut water in Queens. I immediately imagined it as like a decrepit old man.
What did he do?
This was, he was a 42-year-old previously healthy man who developed dangerously high potassium levels that led to fainting and abnormal heart rhythms after drinking a large amount of coconut water. He had been playing tennis outdoors all day in temperatures in excess of 90 degrees, and he reported drinking a total of 11-ounce bottles of coconut water. So how much is 11 ounces?
It's not that much more than I drink. I think they're like 17.5 is what those liters are.
I drink
seven some days. But I just only when I don't notice. Most of the time I don't do it.
You drink seven of those?
Well, no, what I'm saying is the amount that he drank. Uh-huh. Well, the one I'm drinking, one of mine is like
two of his.
A little less than two,
Okay, I see.
So basically I am so sorry. I thought what you said was ridiculous because basically somebody drank that much coconut water and passed out and had to go to the hospital.
No, that's pretty common for
you.
You really don't assume that my things are.
No, I don't. I really don't. And your things are much are real and mine are never are.
Is it? I like to assume that it's because you just think I'm tough enough to withstand things.
Yeah.
But I don't actually believe that. I think
really?
I think you think I'm not sick when I'm sick. I think I get things that you find a nice funny spin on. And then you remember the funny spin better than the reality.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's accurate.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So I can't remember where we left off with this, but you, hydration's a thing for you, right? Weren't you talking about when you got here that you were a dry man?
On the way here, I thought to myself, had I had any water today?
Yeah.
And the answer was no. I like I was like, yeah, I took a shower. There was water there. I'm sure some got in my... No.
Well, you shower with a pacifier in. So
I know. Yeah. I put a full
scoop. Plug it up.
Oh, I shower fully clothed.
Yeah, full scuba. I go full scuba.
I have coffee in the morning. I had like probably 2.5 cups of coffee this morning.
Mm-hmm. Is that normal?
Sometimes just out of boredom, I'll drink coffee and then be so like... shaky and like my eyes are bouncing back and forth. It's like I gotta do something here. So I'll drink coffee sometimes.
Okay. Anyway, sometimes. Sorry, go on.
Thank you. That's a pertinent question. And I'll drink something and then be like, okay, so if something has been drunk and then just kind of forget to drink for the rest of the day until the end of the day and be like, oh, I feel so dizzy.
Yeah.
How much water would you say you drink on average? We're supposed to drink what, like eight ounce glasses?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not that at all.
You're never doing it?
Like probably less than half that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
You think, Madeline, you drink a lot of water, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
would
I
you think you drink
I think
more than the 64 ounces?
Probably. Yeah.
I'll see people like drinking water and it's like, oh, right. We're supposed to do that all the time.
Do you get headaches a lot?
Yeah, I don't know, not a lot.
Yeah, so it seems like it's working out fine for
it's
you.
It's working out fine, yeah. But imagine what I could be without with doing the water.
Well, from having known you a long time, I would say one thing about you from like a health standpoint is you're usually pretty good at like figuring out a trend before it becomes like a real problem. Like it's only like you had this realization around like 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. that you needed to drink water as opposed to realizing it like as you're like you're dying in bed and then you're like, should have drank more water. Like no, you figure it out
day.
Like yeah, that one day. The podcast day.
Podcast day was should have been water day.
And then I remember a while back you just came to the realization that you were drinking too much beer. So like you were like I'm getting a little pot belly, you said. And no one else noticed it.
A spare tire.
You were getting a spare tire. But no one else noticed it. You nipped it in the bud before the rest of us were like, hey, spare tire.
I'll say I still have it. But I've been a little string bean my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
Grew up skinny. And the first sign of it, I was like, oh fuck. This is old. I'm getting old now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a step.
Yeah. No, I noticed it, yeah, because, I mean, you guys know, like, every year around my birth, like, right the day before my birthday, something, like, just tragic will happen to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and, when I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm getting old, and I know because tomorrow's my birthday. Otherwise, I wouldn't figure it out.
I'll look back and be like, what have I eaten this week? It's, like, the worst.
Do you eat bad? What do you?
I'll eat badly a lot and be like, I'll balance it out with a salad, and then not. anytime I'm working in a writer's room or something and it's just like, let's do, lunch is always such a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh, let's, I'll treat myself at lunch and eat like in a buffet style lunch type of thing. And then I'm like, oh, it's late. I'll stop at McDonald's. And then tomorrow, think about a salad.
Just think about it.
Yeah. Well, you know about this, I'm sure, Ben. Madeline, maybe you too. I ran a couple marathons last year.
Oh.
And I think that in my brain has been like, yeah, I ran a couple marathons last year. I'll eat whatever I want. Yeah.
Was last year the first time you did any marathons?
Yes.
Is it?
And I think it was 2015, not last. We're now in 2017.
Because you've done that. You've done a charity one at least a couple years in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was...
That was the same year, I believe. It was March and then November.
Okay. I think you're on two. I think you're on year two of at least. But maybe I just don't know. That's like the whole 20. You wouldn't call it a marathon unless you're running the whole 26 or whatever, right?
I wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah.
You can, but I wouldn't.
I run a marathon pretty much every other day.
Well, because I have encountered a lot of people that will say, like, I run marathons, and then it turns out they run, like, 10Ks.
Oh.
But, like, what they're saying is they run, like, they're referring to it as, like, great distance running.
Sure.
So I never know. I don't follow you in the car to see how far you're actually traveling. You know? I should. Yeah,
you should.
Because, I mean, Jesus, otherwise I want to know that cancer's earning the money.
It's not.
What inspired – were you an exercise person before?
I grew up playing sports and I was a hockey man, and then I sort of wasn't doing anything for a while, and then I was like, oh, I think I could do a marathon, maybe, or maybe I can't, I don't know, and then I just decided to do it one day.
You trained a lot?
I trained a lot, yeah, it's like a 13-week training thing you just download online.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
But you run for a little bit, and then on the weekends it's like a big chunk, and then each week the weekend chunks get bigger and bigger until you never do a full marathon in the training.
Right.
That was interesting to me.
Are you pretty good at like that kind of training stuff? Like where like there's a regimen that you can like work towards?
Kind of. Like I wasn't. I think I had a big chunk of time there where I had no work happening. Yeah. So it was like, great, I can do this.
Yeah.
Getting up in the morning, like as the training, I say training in quotes because it was me training myself.
Best trainer I know.
Yeah, right. As it went on, I found myself like really just like, I'm not going to run this morning because it's like an 8-mile run in the morning. I'll do it this afternoon. Like,
that would turn
into like a 2-mile walk and then be like, oh, I'm ready.
What was the marathon actually, the first one like?
The first one was, it was the LA Marathon and it was rough.
Yeah.
It was like the first couple miles were great. I mean, fine.
Yeah.
And then it got to mile like, I'd say like 17.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 in the morning and it's just so hot. And you're like, this sucks. And you are the whole course, there are people with signs saying like, keep going, you're doing great.
Yeah.
And as you get to like mile 20 with 6 more miles to go, people are like, you're almost there. You're like, no, I'm not. You know it. 6 miles is long to run. And when you're running it, you're also with like super marathoners who are just like, I remember these three guys dressed up as Elvis. Like, you know, in the long, whatever suits, sequence.
Oh, my gosh.
And they had, like, a baby cart with a boombox in it. So just, like, to hype people up.
Yeah.
And they, like, I don't even think they were in the race. They were just, like, running back and forth the whole 26 miles. And I was like, guys, how can you do it?
We've all spent time with the Kenyan Elvises.
yeah.
Were they playing Elvis music at least?
You know, I couldn't tell you. Okay. It was.
You were angry at them.
Yeah. Angry at everyone on that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
And that was after that. I remember a friend of mine picked me up and took me home. And just my legs feeling so awful for days.
Yeah.
And right when I got home, I went on the couch and fell asleep. And woke up and was just like, where am I? What time is it? Have I run a marathon? I don't know what's going on.
Because your body's not really supposed to run that far. Like, why do we do it? Why is it a thing we like to do?
Well, there's a book that I read.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Born to Run. I think that also got me into
the one where the guy runs all around barefoot?
That's a big part of it.
That's the one.
Barefoot, he goes down to Mexico to find this tribe of people who do these ultra marathon races. And it talks about.
It is great.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Look at you.
I can make up anything I want. No, it talks about how the earliest people would track a deer or whatever, elk, or lions or whatever, for many, many miles for many days.
Yeah.
So it's like just barefoot running for a long time, slowly running to catch these things.
Because
eventually they would
need
to stop and we'd be right there to.
Oh,
to
yeah.
But it's the idea initially was long treks to get.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, humans are supposed to be some of the best distance runners. That, like, you know, a lion will run, like, 35 miles an hour for a very short spurt.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, a cheetah, you know, starts running from, like, a standstill position and, like, you know, goes for the impala or whatever. And as long as the impala is, like, you know, I don't know, 500 – why am I trying to come up with a number? You guys don't care. As long as the impala is relatively close, but I don't know the answer. As long as the impala's got to be relatively close, that's our thing is that other animals
talk about
around.
The car, the impala.
The impala, yeah.
No, but yeah, I think they run for spurts, and if we humans just kept going, we would catch up with them eventually.
We just plod along, yeah.
And haven't we done that for the entire history of this earth?
The tortoise and the hare about human existence.
That's right.
And then what made you – so you've done two or three?
Two.
What made you want to do the second one? That's kind of what I'm most curious about because it's like – I feel like a lot of people are like, can I do it? And then they
– I think it was just to see if I could do it again. I don't know. Yeah, but I did much better in that one.
Oh, yeah?
The Las Vegas Marathon. Yeah, I shaved like 50 minutes off my time because it was at night and it was cooler and – yeah, it was so boring though.
Really?
The Vegas Marathon. You go through the Las Vegas Strip, which is bright and exciting.
Yeah.
And then you are out in the middle of like the Vegas suburbs, which are just like
weird.
It's dark, and the streets we were on, you know, had no views on either side. It was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
And by the time I was done, I was like, that was so boring.
I never hear like who does the Las Vegas Marathon? It's just people like.
Siegfried and Roy, Michael Jackson impersonator.
And just a pretty.
Was that one less festive than the LA one, or was it?
It was no. It was part of this thing called the a series of marathons called the Rock and Roll Marathon that do like all over the country have different cities.
It's put together by the Kenyan Elvises, right? Yeah. I believe it's put together by the Kenyan Elvises.
But it was a real trick because you start with this huge group of people and everyone's kind of dressed up in bright lights and it's fun. It's like, oh wow, how do these people have this energy for this whole race? And then there's a turnaround point for the half marathoners.
Oh,
and the majority of people are going that way,
And
then it's like you're by yourself for a long distance
in the dark Vegas suburbs.
That's like Vegas Monday morning. Like all your friends went home. I think many of us have had the experience of like, oh, it'll be cheaper if I leave on Monday from Vegas, and then like the sun comes up on Monday morning. You're like, this is tragedy.
Yeah, and you're just surrounded by the people who. We're like, it'll be cheaper to leave on Monday. Yeah.
Or the people that are like, all right, I just got to make $500 bucks back and then I can have my wife home.
Yeah, there's something kind of poetic about that Vegas marathon.
Will you run more?
I will run again. I'm wearing a running shirt today. Yeah. I got from the Aloha Run.
I remember when you ran that, and I was like, how was Hawaii? And you were like, it was in Long Beach. Long Beach.
It was a 10K in Long Beach a few months ago. The worst shirt. This is the worst.
Is it?
For if the viewer or the listeners can't see, it's green.
I think it's a cool shirt. Really fun shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I really like it because it looks like you could have like gotten it like any time of in the past like 30 years.
Totally.
Yeah. I'll take a pic. We'll post it.
I don't love like I'm not like a big t-shirt guy or whatever. Like I don't care about like, you know, hey cool band shirt or whatever. But for some reason I have like a real affinity for like those like 1980s I went on vacation here shirts. Like Florida or like the little goof ones. Like I remember seeing one that was just like a flat line and it said Ski Texas and I was like, oh, cool shirt. That sounds like a fun
That's
shirt
really
to me.
Funny.
Those
you
are
know what?
Fun. Yeah.
A shirt I've been looking for years, which I saw as a kid. It says Shark Attack on it, and there's a big red chunk taken out of the side. Like there's a hole in the shirt.
Remember that shirt, too, yeah.
You can't find him anywhere.
No.
Oh, man.
It feels like that was like an East Coast boardwalk kind of shirt. Uh-huh, like, you would find that if you were in, like, New Jersey or, like, Myrtle Beach or somewhere that.
Exactly.
We'll find you one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
listeners, if you got any leads on the Shark Bite t-shirt,
send it in.
At Mike Hanford on Twitter.
Yeah. Or if you have... If you're wearing one yourself, send me that.
Yeah, send it. Yeah.
I'm a size medium.
Yeah.
Or just come visit.
Yeah, just come visit.
And give Mike your shirt.
Yeah, give Mike your shirt.
Have a backup ready.
So if you're not, speaking of shark bites, so it seems like you're not like super scared of like, you're a little scared of getting a little sick. Like, is there anything that really like, is there anything that you're like deathly afraid of that's maybe either rational or irrational?
I don't like snakes, but I don't see them often, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Just the holidays.
Yeah. What?
Just around the holidays.
Right. I was raised by snakes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Republicans. Oh, do your listeners not know that?
Yeah.
I was raised by two snakes. I was hatched from an egg. A chicken egg. That's strange.
It's amazing we waited this long into the podcast to bring that up.
Yeah. I'll say, well, let me, what comes to mind? When I'm on an airplane and it starts to get turbulent, that's a moment where it's like, okay, what's going to happen here?
Are we going
down? Is anyone else freaking out? Yeah. No? Okay. What do you call the people who work on the plane?
Stewards.
Stewards and stewards is like... They're still serving drinks.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
Yeah.
It is when you're on a plane and it starts getting turbulent and all of a sudden it's like, bing, okay, everyone put your seatbelt back on.
Yeah. You're like,
that noise is loud and sudden when it happens. Yeah.
But if I've had, I've noticed this on a couple of flights, if I've had a few drinks like to get onto a plane.
Yeah.
And it gets turbulent, I'm like, whatever. Go down.
Is it better if you're flying alone or with somebody else? You probably primarily fly alone, right? Because you're
I don't know how that feels. I don't know. I think it's, again, this is just whatever situation I'm in. But I do hate sleeping on a plane, getting turbulence, and whipping your eyes open, and it's like, what is this going on?
Yeah.
I think also in that sense, and again, this is one of those moments of if I'm feeling tired or hungry.
Yeah.
If you look, if you're like just on in your car and you look around, it's like every one of these is a potential accident.
Yeah.
Every, you know, 2-ton thing around me is being motored by or operated by someone who's not paying attention.
Right.
Yes. Driving is like a deep exercise in optimism.
Right. And trust.
Like, yes.
And just trusting that everyone's like, I see the line. I'm not crossing the line.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about like, this is like super morbid, but like, I feel like there's like so many shootings these days. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like going into any group situation in public is like an exercise in trust.
Yeah.
Like we live at like every part of our social code is like just based on trusting that most people don't have any ill will towards you.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I've felt like tremendous anxiety going anywhere near a mall despite like past Christmas season. Mm, just feeling like
parking alone.
Right? This guy wants my spot. He's going to bomb me. No, but just like that feeling that that there are so many places that would be like if you wanted to take out a lot of Americans, there were like a lot of the places that seemed like they'd be fun to go, like going to like a great concert or I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounded like that was the oldest thing I've ever said.
Great rock concert.
Great rock
concert. You see Jerry Lee Lewis. Live. Oh, I hope he doesn't sing.
Rock and roll marathon.
Stroll to the Hollywood Bowl with your cohort.
Dick Clark's doing a twist marathon.
Glenn Campbell live. So you're hitting a Glenn Campbell concert, or you're seeing the Brooklyn Dodgers play live.
That's scary.
Like you're going to these places, and it just sort of seems like. Yeah, this would be a hot spot if someone wanted to cause some real trouble.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, and then I ask myself, do I want to go to the thing enough to put myself in harm's way? Especially considering like TV got so cool, you know, like all the things are on TV now. Every channel exists. You can like watch.
Yeah.
You don't have to like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say the next part, but you don't have to put yourself in danger in order to like really appreciate things nowadays. And so I do find myself like, you know, it used to be like put yourself in harm's way or just not get to do it. And now it's like put yourself in harm's way or just get to do it like a little bit worse than the guy who's putting himself in harm's way. And it's like, I'm just never choosing to put myself in harm's way anymore. It's probably not healthy. Like,
well, it's also like the statistics. The ratio of bad things to good things happening is like you're not gonna like that's not gonna happen. But
no,
it's like you see enough of them. It's like whoa,
yeah. I feel like just like entering a little bit of like too much paranoia about like national security, and I've been like I've had the thought of like oh man, I live. In a target city, my parents live in a target city, like just like living coastally and not in a random place.
Sure. Right.
It feels like, well, like these are the places that if something were to happen, it would be in like one of the places where we live.
No, totally.
And that seems like a crazy thought to have.
It is, but there's like a rationale to it.
Yeah.
It's just like if, I don't know, there's certain things you just don't want to even say out loud.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a happier subject. What's the most hurt you've ever been? Is that okay? Can we switch?
Yeah.
One time I stubbed my toe.
What?
Oh, on sort of a soft carpet.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, it hurt. Well,
thank you so much for coming out in spite of this.
This was earlier. Earlier this month. Oh. And I hit my head on a pillow.
What? As you were going night-night?
The most hurt I've ever... Well, probably the biggest injury I've ever had, which surprisingly didn't hurt much, was getting my ear cut off.
You got your ear cut off?
Uh-huh.
What?
Whoa.
I was playing hockey. This is probably in high school. Yeah, definitely high school.
Rough sport.
I just can't think of the year. What? Sophomore? I forget. Maybe junior? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Cut this out. No, keep it in. Cut that out. But keep the other part in. I was playing hockey, and we have helmets with face masks on and, like, you know, little bits of plastic over the ears. And I kind of hit a guy and went, like, as I was hitting him, I kind of went down, and he ended up on top of me. His skate lace got Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a skate that did it.
Oh, yeah, I that's assume always, that is like...
When you say, it was a pillow.
When you say you hit him, like you checked him, like hockey
checked him,
hit.
Yeah. But I kind of like, in a scrum, went down. I sort of submarined him, his legs a little bit.
Ah, okay.
And his skate got caught in my helmet. And as he was kind of like kicking his foot to free himself, my helmet came up over my head, or off my head. And his skate came down and just like bluntly kicked me.
No!
And I had this feeling of just like getting hit in the side of the head, which kind of knocks you, stuns you a little bit. And then I felt the ear didn't come all the way off, I will say. It was like attached by a little bit and it was like flipped down. Yes.
No!
Yes. It was like the, not the lobe, the upper part.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
For
what
some
is
reason.
What is the
upper cartilage
part?
Part.
Yeah.
Top ear.
Top ear. Yeah, I think it's top ear.
It's pretty sure it's top ear.
Yeah. Well, I remember during when it would get so bad, I was like, 10 cc's of the top ear. 10 cc's of what? Stitching, my boy. Stitching, of course.
My boy. Why stitching, my boy?
So. I went back to it. Just something felt strange in my helmet. Yeah. I went back to the bench as my shift was over. At this point, I didn't want to continue that shift, and took my helmet off. And there was some glass, you know, behind the bench area. It had a little bit of a reflection. And my coach, who was a young guy, like of like hockey coaches of our travel league, he was probably a younger guy. And I remember him looking at me and being like, "What happened to your ear?" And I was like, I don't know what happened, because I couldn't see it. And I'm looking back, you know, at the glass behind the bench, and like I can kind of make us. He's like, you got to get off the ice.
So I skate off the ice,
One of the moms on the team was a nurse, and she like found me. And I looked at the mirror in the locker room, and was like, my ear was hanging off.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, gotta go. We gotta go.
Like just dangling.
When your ear hangs off, what happens to the hole? Is it just a hole in your head?
No, well, it didn't get down far enough to the other. It was just the cartilage part.
Oh, so like the top ear was like drooping kind of off?
Yes. Yeah. Like flipped backwards.
So you can still hear and stuff.
I can still hear. Right. And it didn't hurt much, and there wasn't much blood.
Wow. Weird.
Because there's not much.
Oh, because it's just.
Cause like if you pierce that part, right?
Yeah.
If you had no ear, like how much does the ear do the hearing, or does it protect the thing?
I think it amplifies.
So like we would hear just, you would hear slightly less volume if your ear was gone altogether.
It doesn't. I remember in grade school, when we were learning the ear, we had this whole like song and dance about how all the parts of the ear. And the first part was the baseball glove catches it. It's a big.
Okay.
And also, that is called the baseball glove.
Yeah, the baseball glove.
The top ear, the baseball glove. Well, more CCs then.
Why? And I wonder why we have the little, like, so we're saying, so this little thing is called the
lobe?
That's the lobe?
Yeah.
That's right, so because there's the attached and detached lobes, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder why we have the lobe, or why anyone has the lobe. Do you know?
She's a great songwriter.
Because it would
look cut that out.
That will stay, Lisa Loeb joke.
Does anybody have an attached lobe?
I think this is not attached, right?
I don't think so.
I think that's the unattached.
I don't know.
Attached? I can't tell.
Nope. Zig, what can you Google? Attached versus unattached? Oh, I think I see.
Like Moby has like an attached lobe, right? Like when you see like a dude with like little round ears or whatever, like that's an attached lobe, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm usually looking at his glasses.
Oh, here we go.
Is that
There's
Moby?
A picture of. Can you turn the a free lobe?
Oh,
and then an attached lobe, earlobe. Just and Wikipedia just for fun. Threw a piercing on there. Okay.
Free lobe.
Yeah.
Huh.
Free lobe.
It's no longer what we're chanting outside of prisons.
Free lobe.
So yeah, I went.
That's horrible.
I got into an ambulance and we went to the hospital. And luckily, the doctor working that day was like a resident or was getting his residency. I'm not sure how it all works, but in plastic surgery.
Oh, great.
Like reconstructive surgery. So like he was the guy there.
Great.
And it looks fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm
better than it did before. I
Yep.
That's so crazy that you had detached. Free top ear.
Yeah, free top ear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so. Yeah. God bless every parent who is willing to watch their kid play contact sport.
Right. This was just my dad was at that game. My mom was not, and we called her. We left a message to be like, "My ear."
What? How did your dad react? Was
he was,
cool?
Yeah, he was being cool about it, I think.
I would be like,
"You're a freak, Mikey." Yeah, I remember him distinctly yelling, "Don't take him to the hospital. Take him to the circus. That's where he belongs."
And you never saw him again.
Yeah, I never saw him again.
And wait until his shift is done.
But they did. They did 45 stitches, and we got it back on. And then I remember
45. Wow. Uh-huh. Sorry, go on.
I remember I couldn't shower, so I went back to school just like for stinky for the week.
With like dry blood all over you and
kind
stuff.
Kind of.
Oh, man.
Wait, had people heard about it? Were they like,
hey. Yeah.
Did they think it was cool?
People thought it was cool.
You were a folk hero.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I can't think of anything that's going to top a story about getting your ear cut off. I guess
there is none.
Let's wrap it up for this episode, huh? You want to throw any plugs out there?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got?
questions for Lennon on Howl is
great
the
podcast.
Thing I'm doing, and what about Twitter?
Yeah, at Mike Hanford.
That's right.
Same with Instagram, right? At Mike Hanford.
I believe so.
Okay, nice.
Sweet.
Well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
That was a really good time.
This was a good time.
Right, I'm glad. I know you had some reservations. You had some fear about letting the world know too much about Mike Hanford.
Too much about private information.
Yeah. You know what? I think they love you.
Wow. When I came in, Ben, you didn't have pants on. It made me feel very good.
That's true. Yeah. I'm under the impression that we are being filmed from the waist up.
Yeah.
But no.
Always assume that.
Always.
We are always being filmed, and it's always from the waist up.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.